Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio, a very special Night 1 WrestleMania preview show. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next 90 minutes, we will be discussing WrestleMania Night 1, NXT's TakeOver Night 1 and 2, a little bit of AEW thrown in there, but we're going to start with the Hall of Fame ceremonies, because I hate to be hard on this. I really do, and I considered not really ranking on this too much because, look, they faced a tough time. They couldn't do it last year with the pandemic. They had to do 2 years in one. I get all that. I really do. And I sympathize with it. I understand it. I mean, just plain bad. They gave everyone, I don't know, like 5 minutes to make a speech, and most of the people were just on video from somewhere. A couple of them acted like they didn't even know what the hell it was. I mean, with all due respect, if you're going to put somebody in your Hall of Fame, please make sure they're at least cognizant of what's happening, because I'm not going to mention any names, but there were a couple of people that went in that really, truly was just like, huh? Oh, yeah, okay, well, I guess that's a great honor. Okay. Thanks. That's your whole speech. I mean, because you don't know anything about wrestling. You don't. It was just, some of it just was not good. Just was not good. And without genuine fan reaction, this really felt pandered. You know, when the people are pressing the right buttons to make the thing chant RVD or you deserve it. Just, wow. Not good. I watched it all. And unlike most years, there really wasn't any great stories that you're like, oh, that was very insightful, or, oh, you know, that's a great peek behind the curtain. And no, there really wasn't any of that. There really wasn't. And unless you're really just an absolute diehard wrestling fan, I don't see you having enjoyed this all that much. I hope that next year, if the government decides this pandemic is over, we can go back to just having fans there so they can really react, and there can be that sense of respect and mutual admiration, and just, I just hope that's the case, because this doesn't work on any level. Just doesn't. There's no point of having the pomp and circumstance of it. You may as well have had everybody do it from the video and stay home. Jerry Lawler inducted every single person. There was nobody who inducted so-and-so or somebody else inducted so-and-so, no. Then on part two, which is this year's, Corey Graves honestly looked like he was either half asleep or high. I don't know what the WWE sees in this guy. I just don't. He's sitting there with a smug look on his face like, this is dumb, but I'll do it because I'm getting paid. And it just, I don't know. It struck me as, that the only word I came up with is sad. I watched it and said, as much as most of these people, not all of them, but most of them, deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, the only person all night that I thought gave even a decent speech was Kane. I mean, considering, and he probably could have went on another 15 minutes and told some stories and done some things, but they wanted to just hurry up and get this done. Just hurry up and let's go. No need for you to talk, wax poetic about your career. Just Thank you very much. I appreciate everyone. Thanks to the people who helped me. Thanks to the fans who helped make me. This is a great honor. And, you know, I grew up always watching wrestling, and now I'm part of the Hall of Fame, and I think that's the most wonderful thing. Thanks again to everybody who helped me. Thanks to all you fans. That's it. Every speech. So, come on. It was less than impressive. Let's put it that way. Now, what wasn't less than impressive was NXT TakeOver. This was probably, arguably, the best TakeOver I've seen, both night one and two. There were a couple of matches that I thought didn't live up to the hype. But in general, this was a tremendous event, both night one and night two. Some really, really good performances. Really good. And again, does it suffer from the fact that there's not a lot of charisma there? There's not a lot of people that fans are super interested in? Yes, it does. Now, I like night one slightly better than night two, and I know a lot of people are probably going to say, oh, how could you say that? Two biggest matches were on night two. Finn Balor, Karrion Kross. Huge match. The Adam Cole match was a huge match with Kyle O'Reilly. Those were the two biggies. I know. But I like night one better. And I'll tell you why. I don't think Karrion Kross is quite... what's the right word for it? Karrion Kross did everything right in this match. I don't think he's ready. I look at him and I say, he needs a little more time in-ring to really pull off a great match. He can pull off good matches. He's a little ways away from great matches. And while Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, everyone is saying, if you could give 6 stars, it would be 6 stars. I agree. This was an awesome, awesome, awesome match. But I have to tell you, and I know it's a small point, but these are professionals. These are people who are highly paid to be spot on at all times. And what hurt this match for me was the ending. And I'll tell you why it hurt it. And then you can tell me how I'm crazy and they're the two best wrestlers in the world. At the end, Adam Cole draped himself over that turned upside down chair 40 seconds before Kyle O'Reilly made the leap. Why would anyone just flop over the chair and just lay there while O'Reilly methodically wrapped that chain around, took his time, made sure it was hooked properly, checked his weight on the buckle? I'm saying to myself, how long are you going to lay on that chair? The real way to have done that was to pretend you were getting up or trying to get up, and just seconds before you knew he was going to make that leap, flop yourself on the chair like, I can't right now, I can't get up. That way it looked like, well, he was trying to use the chair to help pull himself up, and he ended up flopping over it. Then it looks like, oh, okay, O'Reilly took advantage of that. The way it looked now is I'm in position. I'm waiting. I'm still waiting. Chain's halfway around my leg. I'm still waiting. I'm not moving. I didn't like that. I like when something looks real and spontaneous. That looked very, 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 very staged. And that's the ending. That's the big go-home to this entire match that was brilliant up until that point. So that took a lot away from me, because I think Adam Cole is too good of a worker to have made what I consider a huge mistake. You can look out of the corner of your eye and see where Kyle O'Reilly is and when he's almost ready, and Kyle O'Reilly wasn't going to jump until you were across that chair. So in other words, you shouldn't be waiting for him. He should be waiting for you. Let him get in position. If he has to wait there 25 seconds, who cares? He's in position. He's stalking you. You crawl toward the chair. You try to pull yourself up, and instead your body won't let you, so you flop across it, and he, within seconds, makes that jump. Instead, it's, I'll flop across the chair, and you take a minute and 20 seconds to get ready for the jump. I'm sorry. That's a rookie mistake, and I don't like it. And you can sit here and tell me all you want, it's not. It is. and it took away from that match for me. It's still a really, really good match, though. It's still a really good match. So I don't give it 5 stars. I give it 4 stars. I might have gave it 4.5 if it wasn't for that. But aside from that, this is a really strong event, and you have new champions all over the place, right? I thought the ladder match with Jordan Devlin was actually excellent. I think that approached that level. I wasn't, again, Finn Balor and Karrion Kross, it told the right story. Big guy, powerful guy, kind of getting winded. Finn Balor trying to run him, take him out into the deep water, like they said, and then him getting hurt, taking away his arm strength and playing off his injury and him making a comeback. It was all very good. But Finn Balor is a guy who creates all the motion for you, as we've discussed on this show before. He's very good he's very fit when it comes to his cardiovascular. He can wrestle all night, obviously. So he doesn't get tired. He can run the ropes. He can do whatever while you're kind of just not doing that. That's what a guy like Karrion Kross needs, and that's what Finn Balor did for him. But at the end of the day, I just think Karrion Kross needs a little bit more seasoning before he's able to pull off what I would call an excellent match. Right now he can pull off some good matches. Is he ready to be the champion? They're giving him this because I think they think he has the most charisma, one way or the other. Whether you hate him or whether you really like the character, they figure he has more charisma than Finn Balor. That's probably true. Probably true. And I know a lot of people have been asking me, well, you called that Adam Cole was losing. Does that mean, like you said, he's going to the main roster? That's what I hear. That's what I hear. So what did you think overall, Mike, about the NXT TakeOver both nights? I thought it was a pretty damn good event.
I thought so, too. And if you don't think it was a damn good event, I got two words for you. Pete Dunne. That match was probably – that match probably, in my mind, was the match of the pay-per-view. I mean, those two guys, I mean, it looked like a fight. It felt like a fight. It was very quick, very snappy. You know, even, you had a few wrestles here and there, but those two guys, you got the guy with the hoverboard lock, and you got Pete Dunne with his, that power driver body slam thing that he does. But, they were both doing a lot of things. I mean, it was very quick, very snappy. I mean, it felt like the match of the night to me.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind that Pete Dunne is one of their very, very, very best wrestlers. And if he's allowed to do what he can do, even on the mic and things, he is a very charismatic heel. He can be a very, very, very strong heel. So he's one guy that could be their future if he's handled correctly. And he's a guy I don't want to see come to the main roster because I know if he comes to the main roster, he's too small. He's not going to be used. He's just not. He's going to be doing, let me chase the 24/7 belt before he can blink an eye. So keep Pete Dunne right where he is. But you're right. His matches always look real. And I guess if there was one more criticism I could have of Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, it's sometimes you end up jumping the shark where you say, well, I mean, if you're going to kick out of that, if you're really going to kick out of all of that, then I don't know, I guess you're Superman. I guess you have some kind of special powers because no human being's kicking out of it. I've never enjoyed those type of things too much where you say, okay, well, he's taking him to the top rope, and he's going to pile drive him through two tables onto an anvil of solid cement. And, oh, my God, the anvil broke. He broke the anvil in half. His head must be cracked open. 1, 2, he kicked out. Okay, well, then I don't know. Then I guess he's Superman. I never really cared for that. Pete Dunne's never really involved in matches like that. All of his matches is like, okay, when I give you the finisher, it's over. That way it's, okay, well, he didn't get him the finisher until he knew he was wore down enough so that would be the end. And I hope they keep Pete Dunne's matches that way because that's what makes them look very realistic. Now, again, I think the women's division, Io Shirai and Rachel Gonzalez put on a great match. Io Shirai jumping off of the top of that skull onto you. That's a very, very dangerous move. For a number of reasons. Number one, maybe Rachel Gonzalez doesn't catch her well. Number two, you still have to land. She's not totally catching. You still have to land sort of on your hands and knees to a certain extent. She breaks your fall. But, man, if you land a little too hard with your palms down, you could drive your forearm bone right through your elbow. I've seen it happen. Seen it happen in a softball game where a guy slid into second base and he put his palm of his hand up and he slid so hard it drove his bone right out through his elbow. Stuff like that can happen. And watching her kind of do that effortlessly is, wow. That's next level. She's very, very good. And she's very, very comfortable doing these very high risk, high flying moves. Very comfortable. She lost, of course, and is Rachel Gonzalez ready? Probably not. But I think they understood that they can't keep Io Shirai champion forever either because her worth as champion was starting to fade. We've seen all her tricks. We've been impressed by her. We know how wonderful she is. We know how great she is. Unfortunately, the bag of tricks is kind of spilled now, and we need somebody else there. Will Rachel Gonzalez live up to that? I don't know. I don't know. My thought is she's probably not ready. But she's there now, so we'll see what happens. You now have Karrion Kross and Rachel Gonzalez as the champions carrying you forward. Is either one of them ready? I'm going on record as saying no. So it's an interesting choice. Now, I was also really surprised that L.A. Knight lost. I really was. I knew he'd have to get eliminated somehow because I didn't think they wanted two heels going at each other with Johnny Gargano and L.A. Knight. But, wow, I thought when they brought in the former Eli Drake, they were going to make him pretty big. I didn't think they were going to have him do much losing for a while. Looks like I was wrong, Todd, because, I mean, he got pinned.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about the L.A. Knight, formerly known as Eli Drake. I was like, when he brought him in, I thought they were going to make him like a big-time heel. But no, they're going to make him. It looks like they're jobbing him as a small-time heel jobber. I just don't like how what they're doing with him.
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought maybe he'd get disqualified or something, Mike, but I didn't think they'd have him really lose, just flat out lose.
Right. And the thing is you know, I'd rather see him win the match or not even be in the match, but yeah, I thought they were gonna make him big. I mean basically he's doing is Eli Drake, just under a new name, right? So there. And look, I can see, in terms of Io Shirai, I can see a money match on the big roster if they decide to go bring her up. Io Shirai versus Asuka.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot they could do with Io Shirai if they decide to bring her up to the main roster. I'm hoping maybe that's why she lost, although I don't want to see the women's division lose a bunch of athletes at this point. The rest of the two nights, you know, look, Tommaso Ciampa and Walter, I thought that was an excellent, excellent match. I liked that match better than I did Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. And I'm not a Walter fan. But I thought he did a pretty good job. In fact, I thought he did a really good job of of selling that he might have just slightly underestimated Tommaso Ciampa. There were times in the match where Walter, who's, again, not my favorite wrestler, kind of showed, I can't believe he's giving me this kind of offense. I'm taking off my game, and I'm close to losing. I mean, you could see it in his body language and things. That's very good. There were times in the match I really thought he was losing. Really did. And they kept saying, he's undefeated. He's not been beating him like he's losing. They wouldn't keep mentioning this if it wasn't for the fact that he's probably going to lose. But in the end, he didn't. But he made Tommaso Ciampa look really good. Now, if there was a weird thing, it was the ending was really just like a chop to the chest because he gave him the German suplex, and Ciampa got almost immediately back up, looked a little bit dazed, and then took a chop to the chest, and it was just 1, 2, 3. It was really weird. And I know some fans have said, and we should mention this, I have heard nothing. But the truth of the matter is, when Karrion Kross won, they rolled Finn Balor out very quickly, and referees did come and take him immediately backstage. I don't know if that was just to make him look like he was injured, and that is a total work, or if he got injured. If he got injured, I don't know where it was, because he was selling fine right up to that point. But, yeah, they did pull the camera away really quickly, and they rolled him out quickly, and several referees came and got him backstage. So I don't know. My gut tells me it's a work. Maybe Finn's going to take a little time off or something. Certainly he deserves it. He's been through the ringer. But he could have gotten injured. I just don't know where it was because I watched it very carefully. I didn't see anything go wrong. So we'll see. Let's hope not, because if Karrion Kross's first act as champion is, damn, man, I potatoed a knee to the head or a chop to the head, and I gave him a concussion. He's not starting his championship reign off very good. Let's hope that didn't happen. Now, over on AEW, who this week lost in the ratings, at 600 and some odd thousand, and NXT having their special event obviously had a little bit higher. The main thing, I guess, we saw is the Young Bucks turn heel again. I'm a little worried about AEW, and I'm going to tell you why I'm a little bit worried about AEW. I'm starting to see a federation that's out of ideas. I'm starting to see a federation that says, we've done that, didn't we? We pulled that off, didn't we? What do we do from here? And saying, well, let's just repeat. I'm also not the biggest fan of them, like, downplaying Pinnacle already. I thought you were really going to pull this off big time. And I'm not sure that's where this is going. So the great wrestlers are still there. The great talent is still there. I think maybe the one mistake that AEW made, and I said it when they first announced it, is they aren't going to have any writers. They're just going to let the wrestlers kind of do their thing, and they're going to kind of plot their own storylines. And I said, theoretically, that sounds good. And God knows there's some bad wrestling writers out there. Some people who should not have the job. WWE proves that on a nightly basis. But when you hand it to the boys, oftentimes you get a jumble, or you get a repeat, or you get things that maybe isn't so great for the business, but it's great for them. And I'm thinking that maybe AEW needs to hire some people they actually trust. Maybe some former wrestlers, maybe a guy like Raven, maybe a couple of people who can really dig down in and take the feedback of the boys, yes, and get their input. But also write a little more long-term, because I'm starting to see, Mike, a chink in the armor, and that chink in the armor seems to be they're starting to get a little repetitive in some of the things they're doing.
Right, and that's the thing now. As far as that goes, yeah, they definitely need to hire some writers. I mean, even if it is just a guy that's going to come in and say, I got an idea for this guy. Here's his gimmick. Here's this. Here's that. Whoever the writer is, here's what he is. Here's what he's gonna be, and here's what I would like him to look like. You know. And so then there's that. Now, one thing about Walter, that best spot of the night pay-per-view was that him putting his hand through that table. I know it was probably gimmicked, but he sold it though. He sold it for the rest of the match that his hand was hurt. I mean, what made him winning with that chop so unexpected is that he had been selling that hand for the whole time, you know, and
yes,
selling it and much like the Karrion Kross thing, Tommaso Ciampa created the motion, you know.
Oh yes. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. That's why I said I like that match maybe better than I did Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole. I just felt there was more a logical progression to that match where it just felt like right up until the end, I really wasn't sure who was going to take this. And everything seemed logical. Now, Walter could have just said, no, I'm a big monster. That didn't hurt me any worse than if I had hit him. No, he sold it like, okay, he moved and that really screwed my hand up. And that's going to screw up a lot of my offense because that's the hand I hit with, those massive chops and things. And he sold it. You're right. The rest of the match. And Tommaso Ciampa stayed on it for the rest of the match. And the beauty of that and the reason you're right that that could have been the spot of the entire two nights is it made the fans, at least me, think they're setting up an excuse why Walter is going to lose. I couldn't do my major moves. I hurt my hand, which was really my fault. Not Tommaso Ciampa didn't do a move that hurt me. I hurt myself. It took a good amount of my offense away. And so he beat me, but he beat me in a much weakened state than I shouldn't have been in if I hadn't have done that boneheaded thing. That's what I thought they were doing. I thought they were setting up an excuse for Walter to lose. I really did. So they bluffed me, which is brilliant. I mean, I loved it. At the end, I'm like, whoa, they let him win anyway. I really thought that was the moment where when that happened, I said, Walter's losing. This is his excuse for losing. And I was wrong. So that's wonderful when you can swerve somebody like that. It's great, and you're right. He sold it the whole rest of the match, even sold it after the match. See, what Walter lacks, in my opinion, in ring skills as far as he's not going to do a bunch of – he's kind of old school and slow. But a lot of the things he does looks very real. He looks like an old school wrestler just out there to try to hurt you and wear you down, which is great. I much prefer that to I've hit you in the head with a steel chain or a pipe wrench, and it was only a two count. Okay, well, then I don't know. I mean, see, I never really cared for that type of wrestling. Whenever I was called on to do a spot that I said, well, no one in the world is going to kick out of this. An ambulance would have to be called. If somebody wrote a spot like that, then let's just not do it. Because if you're going to do that, then how later on in your career, two matches down the road, are you going to lose to something a whole lot less? It doesn't make any sense. It might make sense now. It might get a temporary pop from the audience now. But when the audience sees you a couple of matches from now and you're selling something way less than this, it's not going to make logical sense. So let's just not do it. And it's called jumping the shark, and sometimes you can jump the shark where you say, now it's gotten into a ridiculous stage where I don't believe it anymore. Now I know they're not really fighting. Now I know it's staged and for our enjoyment, which we already know anyway, but we kind of like it's like going to a movie where for that hour and a half or 2 hours you forget. And you don't need to be reminded. And I think that just reminds me, at least me. For me, that's the one what's the right word for it? That's the one thing, I guess, that a pet peeve in a wrestling match. I don't want to be reminded it's scripted. I know it is. But I don't need to be reminded of it. So please don't do a gimmick where I fell off a 25-foot ladder through three tables and two of them were on fire and the last one had thumbtacks and all kinds of, you know, barbed wire and ground glass and spikes in it. And then it blew up. Two County kicks out. Okay, well, then I don't know. Then he should go join the Avengers. Because he's not human. Just don't do that. Wrestling's done it for years. It's not something new. I mean, everybody can remember when the Giant in WCW fell off a building. He fell off a skyscraper. And Hulk Hogan's in the ring saying, I killed the Giant, brother. I didn't mean to do it. And then here comes the Giant. And then later on, he gets hit with a shoe. Miss Elizabeth's shoe or something. He's done. He's finished. That finished him off. What sense does that make? So that's called jumping the shark. I think there's a little jump in the shark in O'Reilly and Cole, and that's unfortunate because I think they could have toned it down just a slight bit and made this a lot more realistic. That's just my opinion. That's why I like Walter and Tommaso Ciampa. That's why I like Pete Dunne's match. I just think they're more realistic. Anyway, as far as AEW is concerned this week, it's really hard to judge what's going to happen. All I can say is this. I think AEW, for all of their bravado, is really, really glad that NXT is moving to Tuesday night. Because I think a lot of people who watched that pay-per-view might have said, I do want to see more of this. It's not really a pay-per-view, but that event. And I would have been very interested to see what the ratings were with the two shows had they went head-to-head next week, if NXT picked up fans. Because my gut feeling is they probably would have. But they've got it wide open now. So there's no excuse to draw 600,000. There's no excuse to even draw 700,000. They've got to come damn close to 900,000 Wednesday. If they don't, who are you going to blame it on now? You see, Tony Khan has to understand that for all of the talk that he's done, we're beating their asses, they're losing, we chased them, what's it? You're going to look like a fool if your ratings don't go up. So for every person like Cody Rhodes who said, we chased NXT right out of Wednesday nights, they ran with the tail between their legs. They knew they could never beat us, so they folded. And then you still do 700,000 or 800,000, people are going to say, where's the extra people? Where's all those extra people? You didn't go up at all. Why? And they're not going to have an excuse. So they better go up. They better. Now, they put on a decent show, but again, I'm not going to kill them for this show because they had to know. No matter how egotistical they might be, they had to know that they were going to lose some fans to a major event like a takeover during WrestleMania weekend. They had to know that. So if I was, you know, promoting that show, I'd say let's not do anything too major because we're not going to be seen by the majority of people. And here's another thing you got to understand. They only did the ratings, the networks. A lot of people watched NXT on Peacock. So when we say that NXT beat AEW by this many, plus all the people like myself who watched it on Peacock. So it was a considerable number more. It wasn't just the number you're hearing. So, Mike, the excuses are over now. I think, you know, Wednesday night they've got to do pretty damn close to 900,000 plus.
Right. I mean, look, last time they did about 800, about 810,000, right? Something like that, all right? They got to get over 900,000, you know? They got to get somewhere in the 915, 920, you know? Which, can they do it? It's a possibility. It should be a huge possibility, you know? But will they do it?
About that, Mike, is this. There's a lot of wrestling now. There's a lot of wrestling. Monday Night Raw, Tuesday's NXT. So you got Wednesday is now going to be AEW. And you're like, Jesus, you know, it just, there's an awful lot of wrestling on. An awful lot. And maybe you get wrestled out by Monday and Tuesday and say, you know, I like AEW, but Jesus, I've just sat through Raw. I've just sat through NXT. Am I going to really dedicate a third night to wrestling? Maybe you're not. Now, it could backfire, and NXT's ratings could go down. They'll say, well, I'm going to watch Raw. I'm going to skip NXT. But something tells me there's going to be more Raw NXT tie-ins now to get you to watch NXT. That's what I think they'll do. If they're smart, that's what they'll do. So we'll see. Anyway, let's get to some WrestleMania Night 1 predictions. And I got to tell you that I'm going over the card here for Night 1. And, you know, there's a couple of good matches, but some of this feels very like a Raw. You got the tag team turmoil, and the winners of this match will advance to Night 2 and obviously take on Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax. And we know we got Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose. We've got Lana, obviously, and Naomi, Natalya and Tamina, the Riot Squad, and probably Carmella and who knows? I mean, some people are saying Bayley, although they did an interview with Bayley. She said she's out of WrestleMania. Now, she would say that if she was a surprise and she was going to take the iconic girl's place. She probably would leave that as a surprise. But she's saying she's not going to be in WrestleMania. So I don't know. I don't know if there's a reason that she's not saying it or there's just nothing for her. But it is kind of surprising to see somebody who's as big in the company as Bayley not be in any WrestleMania match at all. But certainly Carmella's going to have a – we're going to find out tonight. Carmella's going to have a partner. We'll see who it is. I don't know who's going to win this, but here's the most important thing. I don't really care. I do think whoever wins it is going to be the new tag team champion. And I'll tell you why I think that. They've played this all they can with Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. There's nothing more to play. They've played all their cards. The team itself is just not that exciting. The two women together don't have a tremendous amount of charisma. They're better off fighting, which is exactly what's going to happen. They've teased it forever. This is the big moment, I think. So whoever wins tomorrow night will probably be the new tag team champion. So given that, if it's Carmella and Bayley, I could see that. I don't see Tamina and Natalya. I don't see it. As far as Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, maybe. Maybe. I'm hoping it's the Riot Squad. I really am. I'm hoping it's the Riot Squad. Because they've just been forgotten about. And those are... Okay, Liv Morgan isn't the greatest in-ring worker, but man, I got to tell you, Ruby Riott is so underrated that it's absolutely sick that she's doing absolutely nothing. I remember when Ronda Rousey couldn't put on a good match unless she had to practice it for 2 weeks, like her initial WrestleMania match with a tag team match. Just wasn't putting on good matches. You had to have people on the outside of the ring so that, you know, they could play a part so she could catch up to speed or because she didn't have enough whatever to do 8-9 minutes or whatever. So there's always someone outside the ring and that would cause a distraction and she could stop and collect her thoughts. There was always that. The very first person that put on a match with her that I said that was actually really good was Ruby Riott. So I think she's vastly, you know, underrated. And I think the Riot Squad could make a potentially really good run at these tag team belts, and they could rise to the occasion again. At least we know they're a team. The rest of them feel like they're thrown together misfits. They don't feel like a team. They don't feel like they share anything in common. They just feel like, well, you were left over. We don't want to leave you sitting around and catering. So you're a tag team now. So I hope it's a Riot Squad, Todd, but I do think whoever it happens to be probably will beat Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, they've been champions for how long now? And like you said, I think they should break away from the tag belts, the women's tag belts, give it to Carmella and possibly Bayley as the new tag team champions. But you never know. You never know what's going to happen.
I just keep blanking. I know it was Peyton Royce. Why do I not remember the other woman's name? Like, well, what is her name?
It's not, Peyton Royce's ex-partner. What's her name? I can't remember her name. And look, you're right. And look, had they not, I'm not going to get into this, but the whole thing with Sarah Logan and then firing her, now granted, there are rumors about her have gotten pregnant or whatever, but this would be a spot where, you know, I know they think they got it good, but this would be a spot where if they could pull it off, bring in Sarah Logan and have her have something to do with that match and have the full Riot Squad. I mean, this two-person team of the Riot Squad is good, but the Riot Squad isn't the Riot Squad without Sarah Logan.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, they haven't really promoted them. That's the thing. Every since that, it's been like, okay, we're going to do this little bit with you, and we're going to do this feud, and then we're going to have the reconciliation, but it's going to go nowhere. And they just kind of buried them to a certain extent. This could be their rehab if they do it right. Do I have any faith they'll do it right? No, I don't. I'd like it to be the Riot Squad. My instincts are telling me, for some reason, it's going to be Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke. I don't know why I think that, but I just do. So with that in mind, optimistically, I'll say the Riot Squad, Todd, but I do think it's Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke. What's your choice?
I got to go with Bayley and Carmella, possibly.
If Bayley ends up being the partner, do you remember Peyton Royce's partner's name? It's terrible. We can't remember
Billy
it. What is it?
Billy Kay.
That's right. This goes to show you how much they've done with her. I can't remember her name. If it's Billy Kay and Carmella, maybe they pull some kind of upset because they've been doing a lot with Billy Kay, running around, giving everybody her picture. So it's possible. And certainly Carmella deserves something because Carmella literally had her big debut or re-debut as her so-called new character, kind of squashed by Sasha Banks and Reginald. That whole story went from a Carmella angle to a Sasha Banks angle in like 5 seconds. And it left Carmella in the dust. So she would deserve something like that. We'll see. Mike, what's your pick on this match? It's hard to really pick this one.
If it's not, if we don't see Bayley, I'm going to go with the Riot Squad.
Now, I hope that's the case. I really do. That's my sentimental favorite. We then get to Cesaro versus Seth Rollins. Now, here's the thing about Seth Rollins. You can say, Seth Rollins is a bit of an enigma, really, in the sense that there are people who say he's hard to work with, or there are people who say he's got a big ego backstage, or even a big ego outside the ring. Yes, he's not the nicest guy in the world, but he always seems to end up doing the right thing. He always seems to do it. And he was the guy, after all, who told Vince McMahon and company, you want me to go out in Hell in a Cell and beat the Fiend? I mean, literally, if I do that, I'm going to be a heel. The fans are going to boo me out of the building. You already know that, right? So he was kind of politicking to, I think the Fiend should beat me if you want to keep me a face. He lost that argument, but he was right. And I think he knows that this is Cesaro's time. I think he knows that Cesaro has to make his big... This is Cesaro's first solo WrestleMania match. Can you believe it? And I think Seth Rollins is more than happy to lose to him. And I think Seth Rollins is going to lose to him. So I'm going to say Cesaro wins this, Todd. What's your thoughts on Cesaro versus Seth Rollins?
I like they're going to look like it'll be a great match with Cesaro and Rollins. Like he said, it's his first solo WrestleMania match ever. And well, like he said, I'm going to go with you on this. I'm going to go with Cesaro.
Yeah, you know, I do think I've been watching Seth Rollins, and I think he realizes his spot in the company now is a little bit different than it was. He carried this company. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care whether he's a nice guy. I don't care whether he's a rat bastard. He carried this company on his shoulders when he was Triple H's pick, and he was doing the whole heel thing with his little entourage and everything. He carried that federation, and he was the guy. Hands down, the guy. I think he knows right now I'm not the guy. Now my job right now, until they cycle me back up, which they will, they'll make him a face and cycle him back up, and he knows it. So right now his job as a heel is to say, let me get some guys over, and there's nobody better than Cesaro to get over, and I'm sure he's happy to do it. So I don't see a problem. I would say that this is going to be a Cesaro victory. Mike, what's your thought?
I think it's going to be a Cesaro victory, and not only that, I mean, he's consistently asked for time off, right? And he hadn't gotten it yet, right? So this would be the perfect, you know, the perfect way to have him do the right thing, number one, and two, give him the time off to recycle his character. And we know what's going to happen when he comes back, right? We know that. We know that when he and Becky Lynch comes back and they stick their heads out of that curtain, he's not going to get booed. He's just not.
No. No, he knows that too. So, I mean, I'm sure that they have said to him, look, your worth as a heel is not high now. Because we all know when Becky comes back, it doesn't matter what you do, you're not going to be a heel. So we've gotten what we can out of you as a heel. Put a few guys over here, and then we're going to cycle you back up as a face. That's exactly what's going to happen to Seth Rollins. If they're smart anyway, that's what's going to happen to Seth Rollins. So I think Rollins knows that, and he seems more than happy to sell to Cesaro. And truthfully, he seems more than happy to be the guy that's putting Cesaro over. So they're probably good friends or whatever, and he probably feels this is, you know, sort of an honor to do it because Cesaro deserves it. There's any one person in that dressing room deserves more than they got. Probably Cesaro. We then get to Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon in a steel cage. And I, for the life of me, I just don't know why. I don't care if Shane McMahon brings in a whole team of new wrestlers to tear the cage apart and beat Braun Strowman senseless. Braun Strowman has to win this match. He just has to. Because if Braun Strowman cannot beat Shane McMahon, even with the odds stacked against him, Braun Strowman's career is over. He not only has to beat Shane McMahon, he just about damn near has to kill Shane McMahon. Otherwise, I just have no idea where he's going to go from here. And it's a match that makes no sense. You can't even feel good if he does because you say to yourself, well, why in the world did Shane McMahon pick a fight with a monster over nothing? Over nothing. Braun Strowman did exactly zero to Shane McMahon. And Shane just comes out of the woodwork and says, yeah, I'm just going to call him stupid and make fun of him because I got nothing better to do. This is a very bad story, and that's why it doesn't really help Braun Strowman. If Braun Strowman wins, everyone is going to say big deal. So he beat Shane McMahon. Shane's not even a wrestler. That doesn't help Braun Strowman. If he loses, he's done. So really, Braun Strowman's in a bad situation. Win does nothing for him. A loss devastates him. So how does he come out of here better than he was before? He doesn't. He absolutely doesn't. I mean, you'd have to have a major angle. If Shane McMahon was to bring in somebody that you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe this guy's back. Or, oh, my God, I can't believe the name that Shane McMahon somehow is managing or is on his side. Maybe it works. Maybe it works. Because then at least you have a feud for Braun Strowman. Anything short of that. Shane McMahon pretty much has to lose, and then it still doesn't help Braun Strowman. So I'm going to say Braun Strowman, but I'm not interested in this match, Mike.
Yeah, I'm not interested in it either, but I got to go with Braun Strowman. I mean, it would make sense. Now, granted, they would have to eat a lot of crow for this. The WWE would have to eat a lot of crow for this to be happening, but it would make sense if they rehired Rowan, and he factored into this match somehow. Because, you know, he does have a tie with Strowman. And,
yeah,
I mean, he's a big, strong, monstrous guy. A guy that, yeah, you could say, yeah, he's going to give Strowman a run for his money because he's that big and strong, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if they have a surprise waiting for us like that, then okay. I could see Braun Strowman maybe. I'd still have him win. I would just have that person come in afterwards and beat him down or whatever. I still wouldn't have Strowman lose the match. But in order to even justify the match, something like that has to happen. Because then at least we as fans say this is what it was all about. Okay. Well, maybe it's not so bad now because now we do have a feud between two people and it could be a good feud. That's fine. But if this just ends with Braun Strowman beating Shane McMahon and saying, okay, who's stupid now? This was dumb. If Shane McMahon wins by hook or by crook, you say, well, I don't know. Braun Strowman's career is over. It's over. He went from beating up all three Shield members. Remember that? When nobody could touch the Shield. He came in and threw them around like ragdolls. He went from that to, I can't beat Shane McMahon. Tipped over an ambulance. Can't beat Shane McMahon. Got thrown into a garbage truck and they turned it on. Was back the next night to kill everybody who did it to him. Can't beat Shane McMahon. I mean, wow. Todd, what do you think? Who wins this, and does it really matter anyway unless there's some major angle involved in it that we don't know about?
Something matters, it would have, like, a big surprise in it, like, get involved. Like Mike said, maybe Eric Rowan, but the cause Strowman the match against Shane. But
even if you had that, I would still not let Braun Strowman lose. I would have Braun Strowman win, and then if you want to have somebody come out of the woodwork and attack him, fine. But I still wouldn't let Strowman lose to Shane McMahon. Under no circumstances, no matter what the surprise was, would I let Braun Strowman lose to Shane McMahon. That would absolutely be a no if I was booking it. I don't care who you have. I don't care if Andre the Giant came back from the dead. Side with Shane McMahon, I'd say, okay, but let him beat Shane first. Then we'll have the surprise. Because anything that causes Braun Strowman to lose this match is a disaster for his career. A disaster. So let's hope not. It's one of my least anticipated matches, put it that way. We then get the Raw Tag Team Championships, New Day versus AJ Styles and Omos. AJ Styles has literally lost every solo match he's done, almost has done none. I can't believe they're going to let him lose again. There's no way Almost is going to take a pinfall in his first match. That means AJ would have to be the guy losing. And is AJ going to lose all of these matches? He's lost to Kofi Kingston. Then he lost by disqualification to Xavier Woods. Then he lost clean to Xavier Woods. He's going to lose again? I find that hard to believe. And I'll tell you what I really thought was going to happen, and I thought they were really playing this up, and then they kind of backed off real heavy. I thought Kofi and Xavier were going to have trouble. Because at first it was like, you know, they didn't even want to take the match, and it was, I think it was Xavier that said, yeah, no, we're taking it, that's fine. And Kofi's like, what are you talking about? And he was kind of looking at him like, why are you speaking for me? And they had another couple things backstage where they weren't quite, like, on the same page. And I'm saying, for all of this, you guys can't coexist. You guys aren't really a team. You guys won't be on the same page. I thought it was going to be them ending up not being on the same page. I really did. I thought that's where this was heading, this big surprise of they can't coexist. Big E was the glue that held them together, and these two guys on their own aren't gelling as well. But they backed off of that real quick, so I don't think so anymore. But I do think Omos and AJ Styles are going to win for a couple of reasons. One, I think they want to promote Omos. This is a really good way to do it because he's not ready for solo competition yet, probably. Two, I think they want to hand AJ Styles his belt because I think it's the only one he hasn't had. So it kind of completes the whole I've had all the belts. And certainly I think they feel he deserves it, and he does. I don't think it'll be long-lived. I don't think they're going to keep it long, but they'll keep it a little while. And I think the New Day, I hate to say it, but the New Day without Big E is not the same. They're still funny. They're still talented. But it took all three. It's not just Big E by himself. You could have put Big E and Kofi together, and it would have been the same way. Or Big E and Xavier, and it would have been the same way. It's not about any two of them or any one of them. It was about all three. You really honestly do need all three. And without it, the magic's just not there. New Day have not been themselves. They tried to do the, you know, the little game show thing with Almost and AJ, and it was met with a very tepid response. Their game is a little off. It's been a long, long time for the New Day, too. I mean, you got to understand, they keep reinventing themselves. They kept trying to come up with new and fresh things, and now it's starting to finally feel a little bit stale. Now, I know there are people yelling, a little bit. We've been saying this for years. Well, you're wrong. It hasn't been stale for years. Might have been stale to you, but look around the audience, and there was all kinds of New Day shirts and all kinds of crap. All of that's not stale. They were doing a great job of reinventing themselves on a regular basis and staying fresh. The Big E thing hurt. So I think the time is right, probably. So I'm going to go with AJ Styles and Almost. Mike, what do you think?
I'm going to go with AJ Styles and Almost as well, seeing as how they want to promote Almost. And look, if they hadn't backed off of this whole trouble between the two guys, you know, Kofi and Xavier there, we probably would have had some incredible matches, incredible grudge matches, you know, between the two guys. And then you know what would have happened, right? After that series of matches, they would have absolutely made up and been as big as ever. You know, if they hadn't backed off of it, that's what would have happened, right?
Yeah, look, you couldn't be any writer. That's exactly right. I mean, that is a promoter's, that's promoting 101. You don't make them bitter, 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 I hate you and I want to cripple you enemies. You just have them be, I'm sick of you. You think you always thought you were the big boss. You always thought you were the leader or whatever. Sick of you. No, you always thought you were better. You were the guy who went for the solo belt and everything like that and thought you were the big deal because you were the champion. That's a feud you could have managed and said, they don't really hate each other. They're like brothers fighting. And you're right. And at the end, you know, if you wanted to maybe reunite him with Big E, you have Big E be the peacemaker. Or, you know, it's as simple as this. I mean, it writes itself. They get bitter at each other and say, I don't care what happens to you. I don't care what happens to you. I don't care if I ever see you again. You know, whatever. But then when one of them is in severe danger from somebody else, they come to their aid. Much like Eddie Kingston came to John Moxley's aid. And you say, you see, they were fighting like brothers fight. Like Sheamus and Drew McIntyre to an extent. You could have got some great, 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 great matches out of it and then reunited the New Day, which everybody would have wanted anyway. Everybody would have said, this is a shame. They kind of broke up the New Day. I do kind of miss it. And you keep that going for several months, and then when they come back together, Mike, you're right, it's fresh again. And everybody's like, yay, they're back together. Yay, this is good. So you're right. That's a promoter's dream. Maybe they're still going to do it. But I saw a quick back off of that. I smelled it in the water, man. And it made me smile because I'm like, I know where this is going. There's going to be some good matches, and just exactly what Mike said is going to happen. I'm looking forward to this. And then, man, they did the quick back off on that. So I don't know if they thought we better not or we don't have enough tags. I don't know what they thought. I don't think it's happening anymore, though. We'll see. I mean, I just think that it's going to be given to AJ. And almost simply because I don't think they're going to let AJ lose that many times in a row. Todd, what do you think?
Like you said, I got to go with you guys. I got to go with AJ and almost to become the new tag team champions. Like you said about AJ Styles, he held almost every title in the WWE except for those Raw tag team belts.
Yeah. And it helps AJ too because, I don't know, he's not getting any younger, although apparently he's found the fountain of youth. You know, I thought John Morrison, too. I can give a little credit to John Morrison. During the Hall of Fame ceremonies, he said something really interesting, which wasn't completely true, but it was pretty true. When he said about Jerry Lawler and forget who the other guy was he was talking about. And he said, you know, the thing about them is they found the fountain of youth. They don't really age. They're the same as they've always looked. And I said, Lawler sort of does. The other guy, I forget who he's talking about. And, he's aged. But it was a nice line by Morrison, who seems to be a pretty class act. Anyway, speaking of Morrison, Miz and Morrison against Bad Bunny and Damian Priest. This is such a gimmick match. It's going to make my head hurt. I already know it's going to make my head hurt because I already see the ending. Damian Priest is going to give somebody a finisher and he's going to tag Bad Bunny. He's going to climb to the top and do a splash for a 1-2-3 count. They're going to say Bad Bunny wins, but it's just, God, and they're going to say, well, that appeases the wrestling fans because Damian Priest really was the guy who put him away. It wasn't Bad Bunny. Damian Priest is just such a nice guy. He let his pal get the pin, even though it was his move that finished him. Yeah, I get it. I don't like it. I get it. I don't like it. Not only don't I like it, I hate it. You really want to impress me, WWE? You really want me to come on the radio show on Sunday and say, wow? I'll tell you what you do. You have Damian Priest do 90% of this match. Bad Bunny, tag in. Go to get the pinfall. Get 2.5. Realize, uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. Go back and try to tag Damian Priest. Damian Priest comes back in. Have that happen once or twice. And then Damian Priest turn on him and beat the living shit out of him. Have Miz and Morrison look shocked. Throw him to the wolves. Miz pins him. And Damian Priest says, from the very beginning, that little bastard stole my thunder. I come in here trying to be a WWE superstar, and he has to steal my thunder, right? I have to carry his weight. I have to be the guy that defends him. I have to be the guy that speaks for him. I have to be whatever. I had to put my career on hold while a guy who wasn't even a wrestler gets the spotlight. Well, F him. And you created a damn good heel. You want to really tell me you love the business, Bad Bunny? Do that. You want to impress me, WWE? Do that. There ain't nobody seeing that coming. And Damian Priest would kind of be right. I mean, there are fans who would be like, yeah, that's kind of true. Damian Priest was on a roll, and all of a sudden he's Bad Bunny's sidekick. And he got sick of it and said, I ain't doing 90% of the work and you get all the credit. F you. I'd love to see that, Mike. We're not going to see it. But if they want to really impress me, that's exactly what I would love to see. I think it would be excellent for Damian Priest's career even.
That was, I mean, it would almost be like how I thought they were going with Big Cass and Enzo. Remember? Cass, Enzo would be get beat up and Cass would do all the work, right? You know?
Yep.
And it's like, okay. And then it looked like when he turned on him, he was writing basically what he said, that he did all the work and all that. That's how it should happen. Will they do it? No. But will, should they do it? Yes. And one more thing about the New Day, you know, and it getting stale. Look, and it not being the same. Look, we compare them a lot to the Freebirds. The Freebirds weren't the same after Buddy Roberts retired, all right? They just weren't. I mean, and then when Gordy went over to Japan, well, Hayes had to find himself a partner. He did find himself Jimmy Garvin, but it just wasn't the same, you know?
No. Sometimes it's the whole of each person and not just individuals, and you can't just replace – or subtract. But yeah, your comparison is good, except it would make even more sense because Bad Bunny's not a wrestler. At least Enzo was a wrestler. So Damian Priest could say, here I was given the great assignment of protecting and trying to make sure nothing bad happens to some little punk who decided to come into my business and steal the spotlight from me when I just arrived here myself and I'm trying to make a name for myself. And instead of me being able to make a name for myself, I got to follow him around like I'm his handler. I got to follow him around like I'm his bodyguard while he mouths off to people he has no business talking down to. And I got to put my career on hold for him? I don't think so. So he got what he deserved. I'd love to see it. Because I think that would really skyrocket Damian Priest's career. I mean, he may end up being a popular bad guy because people would say, oh, he's right. Absolutely right. But regardless, it would skyrocket his career. And I don't know why you're trying to protect Bad Bunny. He ain't going to be doing nothing for you. Nothing. But having said that, you know Bad Bunny's winning. He didn't come here to lose. That leads us to, I don't know what the main event's going to be. Sasha Banks claims it's her and Bianca Belair. If anybody deserves it less, I don't know who. And I don't want to hear from women's libbers saying, that's just because you don't like the women. No, it has nothing to do with it. It has to do with the fact that their feud is boring. It was very poorly written. It was very poorly executed, and nobody cares. That's why. This was about two annoying women saying, I'm the boss, I'm the best, I'm the boss, I'm the best, I'm better than you. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. That's all it was. It's irritating. They're both irritating. They're both irritating people. They tried really, really hard to make Bianca Belair not as irritating these last couple weeks because I think they very clearly understood she's irritating. So they toned her down a little. It's too late. I could care less about this match. I did when you first announced it. I said they could do something good with this. But then they made it about, again, two very unlikable women. I'm not saying they're unlikable in real life. I'm saying they're characters. Their characters are extremely unlikable, both of them. So who am I supposed to root for? the person who says, I'm the best and I'm the boss and that's all there is to it, or the person that says, I'm the EST, I'm better than you and I'm a better athlete and everybody, they're both annoying. So this better not be the main event. I really thought Sasha was going to lose because I thought they really wanted to promote Bianca Belair as their future. And she's a great athlete. There's no question about it. And is she a better wrestler than Sasha Banks? Probably, yeah. However, I think that they found the chink in her armor, and I think it is that she's annoying too. And I don't know if they think a lot of people are going to root for her. And it'll be very interesting to see what reaction she gets in front of a live crowd. If they're 50-50, or if they're really on her side, or if they're more slanted towards Sasha Banks. Not really sure where this is going to go. Again, I thought for sure Sasha Banks was losing the belt. I don't know if she is anymore. I don't know. Tells me yes. But I don't think they're going to have everybody lose the belts in night one. I'm pretty sure Lashley's losing. And I'm pretty sure Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler's losing. And I'm pretty sure the New Day's losing. I'm going to say Sasha Banks keeps this belt somehow, Mike. I don't know if she's going to keep it clean or if it's going to be a ridiculous finish. It's going to end with more matches scheduled. But I think Sasha's going to walk out of here still the champ.
Right, I think so, too. And here's the thing with this. You know, they could have had something with Bianca Belair, but here's the thing with Sasha, though. Remember when she first won the belt and what I said about her? I said, this is them basically having confidence, because we knew that every time she held the belt, you know, she'd lose it right away or she'd get hurt, right? So
yep.
This is one, having confidence in her that we're not going to take the belt off of her, and then two, having confidence that she could stay healthy for a long period of time. So I'm going to go with, it's going to hurt Bianca Belair, but you got to almost keep it on Sasha Banks at this point.
See, I'm thinking so, too, and I think they just mishandled Bianca Belair's character when she came over. You wanted to make her a face. Instead of having her beat people in relay races and weightlifting contests and all kinds of things, she should have came over a little more humble and said, look, let one of the heel women say, oh, if Sasha said, talk to me about ego. I call myself the boss. You think that's ego? You call yourself the best. You're the EST, right? I guess you have no ego. And she literally could have said, I never said I was the best. That EST stands for I do my best. And it reminds me to do my best. I don't think I'm the best. I know I just got here. I know I got a lot to prove. But that means I'm always going to do my best. I don't walk into here thinking I'm the boss, so I don't have to. I walk in here saying I'm the EST because it reminds me to. Then people would have said, okay, well, that makes logical sense. And she seems like a nice person. Instead, she seems like another Sasha Banks. I mean, there are ways you could have modified her character to make her, oh, well, that's nice. She seems like a nice person. I get it now. She's not so egotistical. But no, you played it up like she's just as bad as Sasha, if not worse. So how are you supposed to, when you have just two egomaniacs, who you root for? You just did a lousy job with this feud, WWE. It's not their fault. It's not Sasha's fault. It's not Bianca Belair's fault. It's WWE writer's fault. You did a lousy job with this feud. This is in no way the main event. Not the way you booked it. Not even close. So if this closes night one, that's disgraceful, and you're doing it just to pander. You're doing it just to say, see, we're letting a women's match close night one. We're so progressive and wonderful. You're going to make me vomit. Because you know what that really is? That's really being misogynistic. that's really saying, oh, well, let's give the women a nugget because we know they really don't deserve it, but we're going to give it to them anyway. We're going to give them a pass on the fact that their feud really didn't manifest itself. It's okay. They're only women. Give them what they want. No, treat them equally. You look them in the eye and say, look, the feud didn't manifest itself the way we thought. This is no, in no way the main event. You want to be treated like everybody else, you're going to be treated like everybody else, and here's the deal. It wasn't your fault necessarily, but we just don't think this feud is worthy of the main event. Sorry. That's life. That's treating people equally. Just giving them something because they're a woman. That's pandering. And there's not a wrestling fan in the world who said, you know, out of the matches on this WrestleMania Night 1 card, the one I'm the most excited about is Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. That's bullshit. Nobody's saying that. So let's see, WWE, are you going to be a pandering, nonsense-type federation, or are you going to be brutally honest and say, look, we know the main event's Lashley and Drew McIntyre, and that's it. Sorry. That's the way it goes. It has nothing to do with the fact that you're women. It has to do with the fact that this feud did not manifest itself to be as anticipated as we thought it might be, and whoever's fault it is. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't rise to the level of the main event at WrestleMania. I'm sorry. That's it. That's called being treated equally. Now, if Becky Lynch had returned to take on Asuka, I would have said, well, that's the main event. I mean, I don't give a damn. That's it, because you've already got the story in place. She handed her the belt and said, you're the best out of everybody. I'm personally handing you this belt. Now she wants it back. You got a big storyline here. This is big. I'm more interested in Asuka and Rhea Ripley than I am Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. And I damn sure tell you that ain't going to be the main event of night two. So please, don't be a panderer, WWE. Don't just give the poor women a break, because that's actually you being more misogynistic than someone saying they don't deserve the main event, because that's the truth. Anyway, Todd, what do you think? Bianca Belair or Sasha in this...
I'm going to go with Sasha Banks.
Yeah, we all three of us could be wrong, because they just may go with it anyway. If so, I kind of feel sorry for Sasha, because she never really keeps the belt. They keep giving it to her, and then she either gets hurt or they take it off her right away. She's had it for a little while now, but she hasn't defended it a lot. We'll see. Anyway, this leads us to Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley. This is going to be very interesting. Everything that they have led up to indicates that Drew McIntyre is winning this belt. They disbanded the Hurt Business, which, in my opinion, they did for no other reason than to make Bobby Lashley more hated. They let him beat up both members of the Hurt Business like they were garbage, which in my opinion was just to get the fans mad at Bobby Lashley and the whole situation so that they can't really root for him. Everything indicates that Drew McIntyre is winning this belt. And the WWE wants him to have his WrestleMania moment in front of a live audience, which he does deserve. Which he absolutely does deserve. The problem is, you had something good when the Hurt Business had all the belts. I know a lot of fans who were really happy when that happened, and they said, this is great. The Hurt Business is going to rule the WWE for 5, 6, 8 months. We're going to see something with this, something major. And I don't think that Drew McIntyre is going to regain that belt. I think you might end up with a Brock Lesnar situation where he comes back and goes for it so Paul Heyman can say, I got one on each brand. Then I'm saying, yeah, yes, that could happen. That could happen. We might see something real good here. And then it all fell apart. And the WWE kind of squashed something that they thought wasn't going to be good. See, they thought you were going to hate the Hurt Business. They thought by giving the Hurt Business all of this plug that the fans were going to say, oh, them bastards. They have all the gold, but they don't deserve any of it, and I can't wait to see them get beat up. Instead, fans were like, they're kind of cool. They got the swag, and, you know, they got all the gold, and they're badass, and you blew it. So then they said, how do we destroy what we created? It's like Frankenstein's monster. We didn't think they'd be popular, and now Drew might be might get some boos. We can't have that. So what do? We have to destroy our creation, and that's what they did. And it's a shame you had to do that. It's just a shame. I think Drew McIntyre is going to win. I think the Hurt Business is going to play into this. I think that Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin are going to play a role in this. No, they're not going to join Drew McIntyre or have anything to do with him, but they did say we're going to enjoy watching Bobby Lashley lose this belt, lose his title. And when they said that, I just kept thinking to myself, they're going to interfere. They're going to distract. They're going to do something. That MVP is going to flip his top and say, son of a bitch. And I just think that's going to happen. So I'm going with Drew McIntyre, but I do think that Alexander and Benjamin is going to have something to do with it, Mike. What's your thoughts?
I think so, too. I'll go with Drew McIntyre. And furthermore, think about it this way. When Ali and stuff, when they were going strong somewhat strong, and then he made the deal with Adam Pearce, and he said, look, we'll take care of these guys, but we want the gold, right?
Yep, yep.
And basically, the way the fans looked at that was, well, it's a business deal, right? And
yep.
The Hurt Business ended up with all the gold, right? So, and look.
Say that, Mike. But you're so right about one thing. That was the moment that the WWE blew it with the Hurt Business to a certain extent if they wanted them to be heels. Because Retribution was running wild. They were attacking everybody, backstage, in the ring, faces, heels, everybody. Nobody had gotten in really any major shots on them. And the Hurt Business literally stormed down to that ring, took off their jackets, and took on like 20 of them, and were throwing them around. And the fans were like, these guys are badass. Well, what do you think they were going to do? You think they weren't going to cheer for them? Who are they going to cheer for, Retribution? Of course they were going to cheer for the Hurt Business. That was the moment that you made the Hurt Business a badass team that the fans liked. You did that. You did that. I remember I went to an independent show. I'm not going to mention any names, but I went to an independent show, and there was a big, giant guy there, like 7 foot tall. And he demolished some guy and yelled at the fans and said, you're all beneath me, and no one in the world can take me on. I'm the biggest, strongest, toughest, whatever. All you independent workers are garbage. Got out of the ring, and as he's walking back, another guy's coming to the ring who's supposed to be a heel. And they kind of stare each other down. And I'm saying to my, and they're all chanting the other guy's name. He gets in the ring. There's no way he can be a heel now. Because you're the one who put the seed in the fan's head that he just got finished saying no one in the world can take me on. And then here's this guy who won't budge. Looking him dead in the eye saying, if you think you're a badass, basically with his body language. Why don't you try me? He gets in the ring to cheers because fans think that's where you're leading us. The next card, this guy, who I happen to be friends with, come over to me and said, the promoter said, I'm not getting over as a heel. I really got to, like, turn it up and get over as a heel. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? They virtually turned you face. They're the ones who virtually turned you face last time. The fans are not going to boo you. What are you going to do to get the fans to boo you? You'd have to come out and spit on a baby. I mean, there's no way. They're just not going to do it. And that's not your fault. That's their fault. Why did they do that then? Why did they have that guy and you have that confrontation? Did they really think they were going to cheer for the 7-foot guy who just called everybody garbage? Or did they think they were going to cheer for you who wouldn't get out of his way? They created that. And then they're mad at you because you're not getting over the heel. Well, that's what happened with the Hurt Business. When you send the Hurt Business down to squash Retribution, did you not think they were going to be cheered? You created that. Anyway, Todd, what do you think? Lashley wins this and remains the champion, or Drew McIntyre?
I'm going to go with Drew McIntyre to defeat Lashley in this match. Like you said.
Mike, I think you're probably going the same direction.
Yeah, I'm going in the same direction. And furthermore, it's like, okay, and they definitely messed this thing up, because think about it. If they kept them strong as strong faces, and we get a possible Lashley versus Lesnar thing, you got two MMA guys that you could tell them, guys, do what you do, make it look real, maybe throw in a few MMA moves here and there, and you could see something. You could have seen something really good.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just think the WWE blew this one again. Now, Derek in the chat room saying, yeah, they still may boo Drew McIntyre. I don't think so. And I'll tell you why, because Lashley has now lost all the cool. He's lost all the cool because he's the one who said, you guys didn't do your job. He's the one who, and theoretically, in kayfabe, he's the one who broke up the Hurt Business. He's the one who did it for no reason because he said, I don't need your help. I didn't ask for your help, and then says, you didn't help me enough, so you're done, and I'm going to ask other people for their help. He's the one who's looking like a coward. He's the one who's not looking like a badass anymore. He's the one who's going into the dressing room saying, whoever helps me so I don't have to fight Drew. So he looks like a coward. I don't think they're going to cheer him. And especially if Alexander and Benjamin come down there, they're going to cheer Alexander and Benjamin. So I think that WWE set it up right, but they're the ones who had to do this then. Why did you do the rest with the Hurt Business? Why'd you do that? You're the ones who set them up to be likable, to finally stand up to a group who was running roughshod. Badasses. Anyway, should be a very interesting SmackDown tonight, just one night removed from WrestleMania Night 1, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what they have planned. By the way, lowest rated Raw in a very long time was last week. The fans were just not buying it, even though it was the go-home show to WrestleMania. That is not good. That's not a good sign. The fans are not happy with Raw. Not happy with them at all. And some of it's what we were talking about with the Hurt Business and all that stuff. So we'll see what happens, folks. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back here on Sunday talking about WrestleMania Night 1 and also giving our predictions for Night 2.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.